tightly and an impatient look. Her hair was an insolent red, and faint freckles flecked her nose and the hemispheres of her cheeks. Her hips and shoulders were wide, and her narrow waist tightly disciplined against this tendency. "Why do you shake your head? Everyone comes to you for information."
"You are young, mistress. 3 avatars, if I am not mistaken, lie behind you. At this point in your career, I am certain that you do not really wish to have your name placed upon the special list of those younger ones who seek this knowledge."
"List?"
"List.
Why should there be a list of such inquirers?"
Tak shrugged. "Gods collect the strangest things, and certain among them save lists."
"I have always heard accelerationism mentioned as a completely dead issue."
"So why this sudden interest in the dead?"
She laughed, and her green eyes bored into his gray ones. The archives exploded around them, and he stood in the ballroom halfway up mile-high spire. It was night, so late that it would soon be morning. A party had obviously been going on for a long while, but now the crowd in which he stood had come together in the corner of the room. They were leaning, and they were sitting and reclining, and all of them listening to the short, dark, husky man who stood beside the goddess Kali and talked. This was great-souled Sam, the Buddha, who, with his warden, had just arrived. He was talking of Buddhism and accelerationism, and of the days of the binding and Hellwell, and the blasphemies of Lord Siddhartha in the city of Maharatha by the sea. He was talking, and his voice went on and on, hypnotic, and he radiated power and confidence and warmth, hypnotic, and his words went on and on and on, as the crowd slowly passed out and fell down around him. All of the women were quite ugly except for Maya, who tittered then and clapped her hands, bringing back the archives about them, and Tak again to his chair, his smile still upon his lips.
"So, why this sudden interest in the dead?" he repeated.
"He is not dead, that one."
"No," said Tak. "He isn't? Mistress Maya, he was dead the moment he set foot within the Celestial City. Forget him. Forget his words. Let it be as if he never existed. Leave no trace of him within your mind. One day you will seek renewal. So know that the masters of karma will seek after this one within every mind that passes through their halls. The Buddha and his words are an abomination in the eyes of the gods."
"But why?"
"He is a bomb-throwing anarchist, a hairy-eyed revolutionary. He seeks to pull down heaven itself. If you want more scientific information, I'll have to use the machines to retrieve the data. Would you care to sign an authorization for this?"
"No."
"Then put him out of your mind and lock the door."
"He is really that bad?"
"He's worse."
"Then why do you smile as you say these things?"
"Because I'm not a very serious person. Character has nothing to do with my message, however, so heed it."
"You seem to know all about it. Are archivists themselves immune to these lists?"
"Hardly. My name is first upon it. But this is not because I am an archivist. He is my father."
"That one? Your father?"
"Yes. You speak as one quite young, however. I doubt that he is even aware that he fathered me. What is paternity to the gods, who inhabit a succession of bodies, begetting scores of offspring by others who also change bodies 4 or 5 times a century? I am the son of a body he once inhabited, born of another who also passed through many, and I myself no longer live in the same body I was born into. The relationship, therefore, is quite intangible, and interesting primarily on levels of speculative metaphysics. What is the true father of a man? The circumstances which brought together the 2 bodies which begat him? Was it the fact that, for some reason, at one moment in time, these 2 pleased one another beyond any possible alternatives? If so, why? Was it the simple hunger of the flesh, or was it curiosity, or the will? Or was it something else?
Pity?
Loneliness? the desire to dominate? What feeling or what thought was father to the body in which I first came into consciousness? I know that the man who inhabited that particular father body at that particular instant of time is a complicated and powerful personality. Chromosomes mean nothing to us, not really. If we live, we do not carry these hallmarks down through the ages. We really inherit nothing at all, save for occasional endowments of property and cash. The bodies mean so little in the long run that it is far more interesting to speculate as to the mental processes which plucked us forth from chaos. I am pleased that it was he who called me to life, and I often conjecture as to the reasons. I see that your face is suddenly lacking in color, mistress. I did not mean to upset you with this talk, simply to satisfy your curiosity somewhat, and to lay upon your mind some of the thinking we old ones do upon these matters. One day you too will look upon it in this light, I am certain. But I am sorry to see you looking so distressed. Pray sit down. Forgive my prattle. You are the mistress of illusion. Are not the things of which I have spoken akin to the very stuff with which you work? I am certain that you can tell from the manner in which I speak why my name is first upon the list I mentioned. It is a case of hero worship, I suppose. My creator is quite distinguished. Now you are looking somewhat flushed. Would you care for a cool drink? Wait here a moment. There. Sip this. Now then, about accelerationism. It is a simple doctrine of sharing. It proposes that we of heaven give unto those who dwell below of our knowledge and powers and substance. This act of charity would be directed to the end of raising their condition of existence to a higher level, akin to that which we ourselves occupy. Then every man would be as a god, you see. The result of this, of course, would be that there would no longer be any gods, only men. We would give them knowledge of the sciences and the arts which we possess, and in so doing we would destroy their simple faith and remove all basis for their hoping that things will be better. For the best way to destroy faith or hope is to let it be realized. Why should we permit men to suffer this burden of godhood collectively, as the accelerationists wished, when we do grant it to them individually, when they come to deserve it? In his 60th year, a man passes through the halls of karma. He is judged, and if he has done well, observing the rules and restrictions of his caste, paying the proper observances to heaven, advancing himself intellectually and morally, then this man will be incarnated into a higher caste, eventually achieving